Ochofsky, Sam Nation here on the Sam Nation Radio Network. Time is, well, it doesn't matter. We're not live, but we're here in the afternoon on Friday the 13th. Yes, it is Friday the 13th, and true to life, a nightmare is brewing in the United States. Sanctimonious Jim Comey is on the loose with his book. Have you gotten any snippets of this? Well, we're going to dissect all of it because this is right now the biggest story to be hitting the airwaves, and I want to give you my take on it. Before I do, please forgive me. Last week, it so happened that we needed the Murjovsky family needed a little getaway, a little bit of R&R, and so very last minute, Sherry and I took the kids to Miami. We were in South Beach for spring break. With three kids, all 10 and under. So, have you ever done Miami with kids? It actually went really well. It was really nice. It was a little too boom boom for my taste, right? There's a lot of the uns party music going on. And part of that was just given the hotel that we were in. It's the week of spring break. It was a week after Easter, as you know. And doing a trip last minute then is not a good idea, especially when you need to get connecting rooms when you're traveling with five people. So we were very limited on our options. And it all worked out beautifully. It was fantastic. And I think one of the best parts of the whole trip, I'll share this with you. The best part of the whole trip, besides, of course, spending a little time at the beach, a little bit of time at the pool, and just, you know, being able to talk to the kids and spend that family time together, was the ability for us to be able to put the kids down for a long nap in the afternoon. And then Sherry and I had this great time to ourselves, right? So we were able to talk and whatnot. And then the kids would wake up about 6 o'clock Miami time, which really is, what is that, 3 o'clock here. And they were good to go. And so we could go out. We could go to dinner at 8:30, 9. And one night we went out to dinner from 9 o'clock with kids. I'm telling you, well, we looked bizarre, right? So there we go. We walk into a restaurant at 8:30 at night, and we have a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old and a 10-year-old. And we're walking in like ain't no thing. And people are looking at us, what are you doing with your kids out of bed in the middle of the week? But, you know, it was perfect because they'd taken a long nap. It was 3 hours earlier on their body clocks, and we'd have these great evenings with them. So it was fantastic. So forgive me for missing last week. Trust me, it was murder for me to be away from this microphone because so much was going on. I will do everything I can in my power to bring us all up to speed. Now, Comey has written a book. Comey got fired by Trump. Comey is butthurt. That is the exact term to describe Jim Comey's present state of mind, and more importantly, his raison d'etre. Comey's entire reason for existence right now is to burn the Trumpster to the ground and to earn enough money to support his family. This goes hand in hand. And he rightly assumes that doing one together with the other is a good plan and strategy. Now, I want to caution you about something very important here. There is a difference between what sells and what wins elections. Anti-Trumpism very much wins elections. Excuse me, sells, produces money. Anti-Trumpism is very popular because the folks that are disgusted and are the ones front and center displaying their moral opprobrium over what Trump is doing. Those are the people who want to hear from like-minded opinion, and they're willing to pay for it. And they pay for it, you know, they pay for it by buying books. They pay for it by looking, putting their eyeballs on web pages. They pay for it by tuning in to MSNBC and others. And this explains in part why Rachel Maddow, for example, is doing very well, why her ratings are shooting through the roof, because there are enough people out there on either of the coasts so disgusted by Trump that they want to tune in with somebody who's going to reaffirm their liberal left-wing sensibilities. But the truth is, in all of this, when you strip back the layers, you realize that when it comes to elections, who is in the crapper? It's the Republicans. And the conventional wisdom is that the Republicans are in the crapper because, well, they've got the taint of Trump all over them. And I strongly disagree with this, and I will explain as the program unfolds. So, you've got Comey out there, he's hawking his book, and slowly but surely, elements of this book are beginning to trickle out. One of the details that Comey today laid on all of us, what a swell chap. He said that he reopened the Clinton email investigation. You remember this, when he closed it and then reopened it after the pervert Wiener had his laptop seized by the FBI as related to a investigation into his seduction of a teenager, and a young lady online. Anyway, so Comey is now claiming that he had to reopen the Clinton email investigation because he was certain that Clinton would win the election. But Comey was worried. He was worried. You know, he was really looking out for us. He was worried that it would appear to be an illegitimate presidency if he didn't step in. Now, I was looking a little bit earlier here in the afternoon and in the morning. I was looking at all these different cable news sites. And what's the takeaway? People are shouting, oh, my goodness. See, Comey's a political animal. He's making political calculations. And that's what the people are saying. But there's a very important part of this admission that is being missed. And that is that Comey was one of the retards that thought that Clinton was going to win the election. I read this, I heard this, and I nearly fell in my chair. I go, Comey was no different than any of the other mainstream, middle-of-the-road, establishment fixtures, be it in politics or be it in the punditry class, that assumed that Hillary would take this. Now, how long have you been listening to this program? You'll know that right now what we're starting out at, what I can tell you, is that Comey has less of a clue about the political zeitgeist of this country than I do. So every time I read a defense of Comey that talks about his character, that talks about his brilliance, that talks about his cunning, now, Trump doesn't want to mess with Comey. No, because Comey is going to outfox him at every turn. I'm looking at this and I'm going, this guy's a dumb, you know what? He is a stupid, money. Did he really think that Hillary would be elected? I actually am inclined to believe this statement. Because I think that the way the timing of it all worked, I think that he, as soon as he got the laptop, he panicked. He got the laptop from Wiener, realized that there was a bunch of classified documents on this laptop, because this laptop was being shared by Wiener and by Huma Abedin, close aide, confidant, and perhaps, well, we aren't going to make any aspersions. But anyway, close confidant of one Hillary Clinton. And so immediately when they found all these classified documents, what's the logical conclusion to draw? Is that Hillary was taking classified information, having it sent to her homebrew server, that it was sent on to Huma Abedin working for Hillary. And protocols for maintaining all of this classified information were not being followed, were being broken on a routine basis. Any other individual, if it were you or I, if you were an enlisted person in the Navy, as others have been who have run afoul of this law and been prosecuted and put into jail, you'd realize that being caught so red-handed, game over. But Comey did what? He not only didn't prosecute, right? He not only didn't prosecute, but he went out of his way to clear Hillary and to publicly affirm her innocence. Why? Well, it's very simple. If you're the director of the FBI, aren't you going to suspect? If you truly believe that Hillary's going to win the election, then you truly believe she will be the next president of the United States. And you're right back to job preservation. And so every time you, well, what do I mean by that? I don't want to take any shortcuts here. So you believe, right? You believe that Hillary's going to become president. Yes, she broke the law. Comey is a bright guy. He understands the law. He understands that she's run afoul of the law. But he's not going to be one to recommend her prosecution because he believes that her candidacy is so infallible and that Trump is so, I mean, unacceptably pathetic of a candidate with nearly zero chances to win. You remember this would be, 2 months before the election. And I don't know, what did Nate Silvers have as Trump's chance of survival, of getting elected? I mean, but less than 10%, right? It was trivial. So what does Comey think? He goes, look, this lady's going to become my boss. Hell no, I'm not going to recommend that she get prosecuted. My career's going to be over. All of this tells us that Comey is a political animal. He's making political calculations. And he's absolutely detached from reality to the point that he does not understand the strength of Trump's candidacy. But in the final count, the most important takeaway here is that Comey is morally compromised. And any defense of Comey at this juncture, of his character, is so fundamentally mislaid. I don't even know where to begin with it. So this is all very important and foundational information for you to know. Now Trump, being Trump, he's fired back. He says, look, Trump says that Comey's a slime ball and he ought to be prosecuted for leaking classified info. And this all dates back to when Comey was still in as the FBI head. There's a number of things that Comey admitted to leaking to the Washington Post and other newspapers. And by the way, Trump has a point here. I don't know that Trump necessarily has control over his Justice Department. That's a separate issue. But Comey leaking classified information to the media is a problem for Comey. And I think the apologists for the anti-Trump apologists who are keen to welcome into their fold anybody who is an opponent of the president ought to be very careful to welcome Comey too heartedly. I believe there's let's take this. We got to take the sound bites in order today because I want to make sure that we're getting to this and we're getting the entire story. Comey did. He addressed, there's going to be a NBC on Sunday, there's going to be an interview with Comey where he's one of the things that they leaked today or they put out today from NBC is a little snippet of him talking to Stephanopoulos about the investigation into the now infamous Golden Showers dossier. Now, besides the entire uncomfortable salaciousness, this is all interesting stuff, right? I mean, the idea of a president hiring prostitutes to go pee on a bed simply because this was a bed that Barack Obama at one point during a visit to Moscow may have slept in. It's a great story. And I've always said from the beginning, everybody I have ever spoken to that knows Trump has debunked this. And these, by the way, these are people I talk to that don't debunk other things, but they debunk this and they say there's absolutely no way that Trump doesn't even like shaking hands with people. He's a total germaphobe. Trump is a guy, he doesn't do hugs. He doesn't do handshakes. He's terrified of getting poisoned. Trump's not a guy that would invite a bunch of or a group of Russian prostitutes in a hotel room and have them lose, excrete any bodily fluids for that matter on a bed that at some point, maybe down the road, the president or the future president would be sleeping. And this goes back to 2013. So understanding this, I'm going to tell you this. You can hate Trump all you want, but you've got to believe me. What I say, this incident did not happen. And the reason we're talking about this incident is because this is the incident that was contained in the original dossier. Christopher Steele put this thing out. The original dossier that was the basis for opening up the Trump-Russia collusion investigation, right? The entire investigation as originally launched by the FBI traced back to this original incident. This incident being believable, being probable, being plausible, these are different words, but they all mean different things, but at the very least being plausible is the basis for believing the FBI in why they felt a need to open up the original Trump-Russia investigation, right? If this is not believable, the entire Trump-Russia investigation ought not to have been investigated. All right, when we come back, let's hear from Jim Comey in his own words and some interesting rebuttals to this, even by some people you would not expect. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, back right after this.
In this present crisis, government is the solution to our problem. Government is the problem, and Sam Nation is the solution. Of course, you need jelly beans for that.
On the Sam Nation Radio Network. Welcome back, friends. Okay, so we have James Comey in his own words speaking on a trailer for NBC for a show that's going to air this Sunday. Speaking with George Stephanopoulos, former Clinton stooge. And here is sanctimonious Jim talking about a conversation that he had with the President of the United States.
When you started talking about it, I may order you to investigate that. I said, sir, that's up to you, but you'd want to be careful about that because it might create a narrative that we're investigating you personally. And second, it's very difficult to prove something didn't happen.
Did you believe his denial?
Honestly, never thought these words would come out of my mouth, but I don't know whether the current president of the United States was with prostitutes peeing on each other in Moscow in 2013. It's possible, but I don't know.
It's very difficult to prove something didn't happen. That, by the way, is true. I find it's if something has happened, I'll put it to you this way. And again, this is just as a lawyer having to oftentimes parse between find kernels of truth and seas of lies and exaggerations. If something happened, it's easier to prove that that happened than if something certainly didn't happen, and to prove that. So the great example would be, and producer Robbie, this is really, I have to credit him because his mind goes places mine doesn't. I could make an accusation that Jim Comey likes to have sexual intercourse with goats. I can say that. Now prove it. Right? It's hard to prove it because my guess is he probably doesn't have sex with goats. But now prove that he doesn't gets a little trickier. Because you could maybe prove that he has perfectly normal relations with his wife. But I don't know if that's mutually exclusive of him having perfectly nice romantic interactions with goats. You see what I'm saying? I'm being absurd. Forgive me. I'm being absurd. But you get the gist of it. You actually can make a wild accusation against somebody, and it will stick in people's minds. It's very difficult for that person to go out there and say it didn't happen, and to show to because there's no tape, right? There's no ticker tape of somebody's life that can categorically disprove it. Generally speaking, all right. But this is the reason Comey is doubling down. And you understand what he's saying? He's not saying that I think it happened. He's just saying, I can't prove it didn't happen. But the reason he's doubling down on this, and the reason that Stephanopoulos and all the other anti-Trump apologists are keenly examining the Golden Showers story. It's not because these guys were all, you know, pervertedly clear, curious anti-Trumpists, but they need this story to be true, or to be at the very least plausible, because this was the story that Christopher Steele put in his dossier that showed, or that purported to show, that Trump had been compromised by Russian intelligence. That Trump had engaged in this. He'd hired these hookers. They were peeing on the bed. Everybody was having a gay old time. And then Trump was in the process of all of this, captured on film, or in some way by Russian intelligence, by the FSB, and that now he was being blackmailed. And that candidate Trump really was a Manchurian candidate who, once he became president, would become Russia's stooge. This narrative is why we have the Russia investigation. This narrative is why a special prosecutor ultimately was appointed. This narrative is why Bob Mueller has spent millions of our money on a bunch of, you know, left-wing lawyer nut jobs that are out pursuing a, you know, trying to find anything that will prove that Trump is beholden to Russia. Play number two. This is probably my favorite Comey clip. Play it.
I honestly never thought these words would come out of my mouth, but I don't know whether the current president of the United States was with prostitutes peeing on each other in Moscow in 2013. It's possible.
I really want to pee on James Comey. I don't know if there's going to be some opportunity. Maybe Apple can come up. There'd be a game on the App Store. Well, he likes to leak. I don't know why we can't leak on him. It's only fair. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, back right after this.
I was listening the other day to a friend of mine. His name is Sam Rogowski. You'll find him very interesting. He's very stylish. He's always wearing his suit. And if you want to hear someone's opinion that absolutely is correct, you listen to Sam. Anyone else is a waste of time.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation here, not live, but very much alive on the Sam Nation Radio Network. A bit of Ghost of Christmas Past that I think is an important story that developed today. Rumors, sources, whatever you want to call them, seem to indicate that Trump is planning to pardon Scooter Libby, who was the chief of staff to Dick Cheney, vice president of the United States, during George W. Bush's tenure. Now, probably the biggest pussy move that George W. Bush ever made was the commutation of Scooter Libby's sentence. Now, why do we care about this? Okay, why, Sam, who cares about what happened all the way back in 2007? Well, I do, because history matters. And it also matters because in the Republican Party, the Never Trump wing is inextricably tied with the Bush family. And I believe very strongly that with Scooter Libby, Bush left a man down on the battlefield. Let me explain. Scooter Libby, do you remember Valerie Plame, the Chiquita Bonita, the femme fatale, the glamorous blondie CIA agent? Who was her douchebag husband? Who was that guy? Wilson. Thank you. Joe Wilson. And this couple, this left wing, today we would call it deep state, right? We would understand what this animal was all about because Trump has waged war against the deep state. Bush, from day one, was too big of a wuss to ever do this. He wanted to court the deep state. He wanted to win these career left-wing Georgetown educated bureaucrats over. And it's insane. They have no interest in any type of dialogue with conservatives, to the extent that you can call George W. Bush a conservative. So here we had Joe Wilson, Valerie Plame, and she was a secret agent. And somebody leaked her name as being a secret agent after there was an unfavorable weapons of mass destruction report put out by her husband. And apparently, Scooter Libby, chief of staff to the vice president, had mentioned her name. But it was actually Dick Armitage. You remember this? It was actually somebody completely else in the deep state that had mentioned her name. And he just didn't remember. And he's talking to the FBI agents. This is all history repeats itself. This is why we're bringing all this up. History repeats itself. So now when we're talking about Mueller's investigation, we're talking about Gates. We're talking about people like Manafort lying to the FBI, whether intentionally or not, not good. You can be prosecuted. And that's what happened to Scooter Libby. But it was such a flimsy, ridiculous charge and completely politically motivated. And at the end, I don't know if you realize this. People aren't talking about this today. At the end of the Bush presidency, so in the final days of the Bush White House, Obama's transition people are coming in. They're already planting their alfalfa sprouts in the garden. They're already taking their tofu and loading up the communal refrigerator. The Obama people are moving into the White House, and the vice president. This multiple sources confirm this to me. When this was happening, I was absolutely out of my mind. The vice president, Dick Cheney, an honorable man, whatever you think of him, an honorable man, he was enraged with Bush over this issue. Enraged. And he was literally stalking the president of the United States in the last days of the presidency, begging him for a pardon. And the best Bush would do, because he literally, the panties that he wore from, got over on a sale and a five for the price of one discount sale at Victoria's Secret. The panties were all in a bunch. The least that Bush would do was to give him a commutation of his sentence, which still guaranteed that Libby, as an attorney, would lose his law license and have his career and ability to earn a living severely compromised. This was disgusting. And for me, who I feel in some respects I carried water for Bush during the 8 years that he was in office, and I really have done a lot of soul searching about this. To me, this was just the final act of betrayal. And for Trump to write this now, if he actually does, if he pardons Scooter Libby, I put this in one more very positive thing that the president has done so far. Elections do have consequences. And for all of you never Trumpers, all of you conservatives, principled conservatives, think that Trump is an abomination. There are so many, and you voted for Bush, you carried water for Bush. You are still completely and totally deluded. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, back right after this.
You're looking for a show that doesn't sugarcoat the truth. Sam Nation will accommodate you.
Well, the Republicans are already running against Comey, and I love this. I love this. I think the most powerful thing right now that the Republican Party can do, if they want any success in the midterms, I'm going to talk a little more about this at the top of the hour. But if they want any success in the midterms, they've got to coalesce behind Trump. You got to jump ship on all these rhino Republicans in name only losers. Tax and spend Republican losers. You jump ship on them and not on Trump. So this GOP ad right now is circulating through the internets and the airwaves, and it's featuring Democrats from Chris Murphy, Chuck Schumer, Bernie Sanders, Pelosi's in this, Stephanopoulos, Claire McCaskill. I mean, he even ends with a little Maxine Waters for good measure. All of them denouncing Comey. Right, these are all the people right now for whom Comey is Robin Hood. Comey is Mother Teresa. Comey is the symbol of hope and a bright morning again rising in America. And you've got these, this is fantastic. I'm gonna play the ad. You listen to all this. These are all these Democrats who are S-talking, right? I'm not going to say the real word, even though this is a podcast, but they are all talking crapola on Comey. When Comey was the one who reopened the investigation on Hillary, when Comey was not, when it seemed that Comey was torpedoing their favorite candidate. This is how opportunistic these people are. Play the tape.
Democrats have been very critical of James Comey, and many of us did call for his resignation.
Well, I was appalled by what Director Comey did.
Comey acted in an outrageous way.
He made a mistake. Maybe he's not in the right job.
Howard Dean, former Democratic candidate for president, says, quote, he may have destroyed the credibility of the FBI forever.
This was a very serious error in judgment.
The president ought to fire Comey immediately, and he ought to initiate an investigation.
What he did was unprecedented and outrageous, damaged the institution of law enforcement in this country.
The lowest moment in the history of the FBI.
I found it hard to believe that Comey, who I thought had some degree of integrity, would do this.
All I can tell you is the FBI director has no credibility. That's it.
I want to play a game. Who's more demented? Maxine Waters or Nancy Pelosi? Like American Ninja Warrior, but a battle of the dimwits. Okay. I think you could tell who Nancy Pelosi was. She always sounds like, you know, when you're at your house, the Murjovskis, we're a fairly open family. You know, you're going to the bathroom, you open the door into the bathroom thinking that it's not occupied. It's ready for your own personal use. You open the door to the bathroom and somebody is there using in a very passionate way the toilet. And they just have this look on their face like, oh. That is Nancy Pelosi's permanent face. So he made a mistake. Maybe he's not in the right job. Oh, Maxine Waters. All I can tell you is the FBI director has no credibility. The great arbiter of credibility has spoken. See, this is actually a stunningly good ad. Normally, I would credit Robbie for creating a fantastic montage, which he does do. But here, the GOP did it themselves. And part of what's making this, I think, this so effective is you realize that that Comey is just a political football. If there's no other takeaway here, if there's nothing else that comes from you listening to this podcast, understand, Comey might think that he is in charge of the narrative. When you write a book, it's a very it's an ego-driven thing. You think that whatever words you put on the page, people actually give a rat's rear end about. Why do you think that? Because the only reason you write a book is because you hope people are going to buy it, and you hope that some money will end up in your pocket at the end of the day after paying the publisher. So you've got to assume, right, that people are going to care enough about the words that you put on the page to pay somebody to read them. Get that? All right. So Comey here thinks that his words are important. He doesn't realize he could draw doodles on the pages. It just matters that whatever doodle is there is with Trump with a little goatee and a pitchfork, a cloven hoof, and a bifurcated tail. And that is enough to get the people on the anti-Trump side to buy it because it reaffirms their narrative. Comey is just a political football. He is just being used right now to advance a narrative that is convenient for all these anti-Trumpists. And that's it. And nothing that comes out of this is going to be particularly damaging. You know how I know that? Even left-wing Chris Wallace, who deceivingly is based on Fox News, he tore him to shreds. Did you hear this? Don't go anywhere. I'll share this clip with you. It's a must not miss clip from the airways this week. Sam Murjovsky, Sam Nation, not live, but very much alive on the Sam Nation Radio Network.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Johnny.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, on the show tonight is Sam Murjovsky. Now, what Sam
is the leading word in correct thinking, as opposed to Ed, which is drunk thinking. And that's usually where the left ends up, on the wrong side of right.
Now, I did mention, right, that there are certain politicians and pundits that say that we can't criticize Comey the Piouses. Sanctimonious Jim, whatever you want to call him, that you can't criticize his ethics. Here's Representative Jim Hines, Democrat, Connecticut, talking with CNN's Kate Bouldon today.
Talk to anybody, just about anybody, who doesn't work at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. They will tell you that Jim Comey is an honest and good man. The idea that this man is dishonest, and remember, this is all part and parcel of the attempt that the White House is making to besmirch Robert Mueller, a decorated war hero. That's what is happening here. So, yes, let's have that conversation about whether Jim Comey made the right move in talking about the Hillary Clinton thing. But people will rot in hell for besmirching the reputation, the integrity, and the professional history of these two men.
Oh my goodness, where do I start? Any, Bob Dole, anybody? John McCain? Those two men ran for the presidency, the Democrats steamrolled right over them. And anytime you said something about, whoa, now wait a minute, these guys are war heroes, you know, we gotta be nice, the press just moved right along. So funny. But you get this, you get the narrative. And how funny is this in light of that Republican ad that I played you that has all the different clips of various Democrats all besmirching Comey, besmirching his reputation, his integrity, and otherwise when they felt that Comey was killing their candidate, namely Hillary Rodham Clinton. So anyway, Chris Wallace, talking on Fox News earlier today, said that Comey... well, you know, there really isn't a lot to this Comey book. There doesn't seem to be a lot there. Listen to this.
People are talking about bombshells. There are none. Basically, everything that he said in terms of the facts of what the president did, he already has testified before a congressional committee. And in fact, at one point, he says, while he thinks the president's behavior may have been unethical, it may not have been illegal. The other thing that surprises me, frankly, is how bitchy the book is. Comey goes out of his way to say the president isn't as tall as he thought he was. He checked out the size of his hands the first time they shook hands. He noticed that the president seemed to have little white half moons under his eyes. Maybe he had sun tanning goggles that he wore. You know, I think one could argue that James Comey has done more damage to his own reputation than he has to President Trump's.
Well, he's right. And the reason is that, I mean, what's Jim Comey's stock and trade? He's a lawyer. He's an upstanding guy, right? This is the narrative, right? He's the head of the FBI. He's honorable. Above pettiness. Independent. Strong. What do people say about Trump? I mean, look, even people that love Trump know that he tans. Even people that love Trump are get that he's a comical character. Trump won in spite of all his human fallibilities. And this is because his ideas are what have sold people on the idea of his presidency. So now look, in that sense, Comey has everything to lose here. I mean, he's just getting into the dirt. He's getting into the mud. He's selling a book. So believe me, Nate Silver, he goes, you know what he said today? He goes, it's not particularly honorable if you have information that you believe is of immediate and vital national importance to wait 11 months to release it until you can have a giant book launch and publicity tour around it. Yeah, this is a Democrat. So anyway, I don't think this is all going to go very well. You're going to hear a lot of noise about this for a couple weeks. It's going to go away with a whimper. All right, we come back. Let's talk about the midterms. It's a big thing. Also want to talk about Cohen, the Trumpster's attorney. His offices were raided. I've got some thoughts on that. So don't go anywhere. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation on the Sam Nation Radio Network.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Johnny.
Now, as an added spot tonight, I just wanted to let you guys know that we are subjugating our entire show to Sam Nation because apparently he's right and the rest of everyone is wrong.
Sam Nation on the Sam Nation Radio Network. Look, Trump's lawyer on News Today right now from Bloomberg says Trump's lawyer has been under criminal probe for months. And this probe, by the way, the search warrant that was executed on Michael Cohen this week of his residence, his hotel room, safety deposit box, cell phones, this all has to do with an investigation that was led by the Manhattan district attorney and federal prosecutors in Manhattan. It is apparently a probe that is independent of Robert Mueller's probe. Now, I want to tell you first sort of broad strokes of what my thoughts are on all of this. My very first reaction from the time that Michael Cohen began to speak to the media was surprise. And I was surprised because I thought, in my estimation, that Cohen is a lightweight. Okay, in the world of lawyers, certainly in the world of the type of lawyers that Trump could afford to pay, this Cohen guy is an idiot. And I'm not basing this on anything that I know. I'm basing this on everything that I'm observing. This Michael Cohen guy doesn't know when to shut up. And usually when I deal with clients, that's a problem clients have. Clients cannot stop talking and feel a need to fill dead voids of space, right? Of no sound. They get asked a question. Say yes or no, and they say no, and then they have to fill the rest of the space with some insipid explanation that has nothing to do with anything, but that ultimately ends up revealing more information than you want to give up. Lawyers are taught, if they're good, they're taught to say what needs to be said and not anything else. It is a principle that I refer to as an economy of words. An economy, simply as a restriction to the bare minimum of necessity. This guy is a blabbermouth, and he gets on TV and I would do anything for the president, what the hell? I get a very uneasy feeling from this cat. So what's going on? It may very well be, and according to Bloomberg, it may very well be that this investigation into Cohen has really nothing to do with Trump, but everything to do with his sketchy business dealings. This is a guy who has just a handful of clients, but a lot of various business interests. Some taxi stuff. He's got some real estate stuff going on. And other sundry businesses. And so you've got this guy who's a quasi-entrepreneur. He also happens to be a lawyer, and he's representing Trump, and he's been known as Trump's fixer. And my simple take on this, right, straightforward, just as this was developing, is I think that this guy is totally and completely out of his depth. And it baffles me that Trump would keep him close. I think I try to examine things not in the context of the moment, not in light of the momentary hysteria, but I want to always look at how an event is going to be viewed years down the road. And years down the road, I suspect that this event is going to be examined as what the hell is Trump doing with this clown? If there are real criticisms of Trump to be had, this is one of them. When it comes to lawyers, you do not look for bargains and life preservers, right? You've, you know, you, that's the joke, right? If your ship is sinking, do you get the cheapest lawyer out there? No. Hell no. You get the best guy you can. So the issue here with Michael Cohen is this payment to Stormy Daniels. Now, I got into a pretty heated argument yesterday with a couple of colleagues who are very savvy and practice in federal court and do some of this high-level government type work, and I believe I'm right, and we had a spirited discussion about this. And I'll explain, because the question is, if Michael Cohen was doing dirty stuff that didn't affect the president, it's not a political story. It's only a political story in the sense that what the hell is Trump doing with this clown? The only question, where it becomes a political story that affects Trump, I'm really trying to strip away the layers. And you know, I like Trump, but I'm calling him out on this. He's got the wrong lawyer. He's in with the wrong cat. And I know that now, clearly. What I don't know, and what you don't know, and what the media doesn't know, and what nobody knows, save for maybe, I don't know, the cops that are looking at these files right now, is where did that Stormy Daniels hush money come from? That's the real story. Okay, and let me explain to you why. You remember Edwards? You remember John Edwards? He had that love child with that kind of gross-looking woman. And do you remember she was paid some hush money to keep her out of the public eye? She was paid given a house and given a salary and things like that, right? You remember the story? Okay. The reason that John Edwards ended up getting prosecuted, and by the way, he ended up getting off, right? He was acquitted. But you remember why he got prosecuted? He got prosecuted because it was Bunny Mellon, this big-time Democratic donor, that was funneling money from her through an intermediary to this woman. And because John Edwards was running for president, the payment was, by implication, a campaign contribution. And because it exceeded the maximum threshold, it was an illegal campaign contribution. It wasn't disclosed. And even if it had been disclosed, right, it wouldn't have flown. My understanding of how the law is that if Trump were to write a check to Stormy Daniels, I don't care if it's 10 days before the election or 10 weeks or 10 months. If Trump writes a check to Stormy Daniels and says, here's $100K, now go pound sand, you know, you freaking beezy. And she takes it and signs the NDA and goes away. That in and of itself, there's no federal law that's broken. The issue is, Michael Cohen is the world's biggest idiot, because he has been on TV blabbing, running his mouth about how no, this money that we paid her, it did not come from Trump. It did not come from Trump. No way. No, it was my money. I gave it. It was me. First of all, do you believe that? I mean, come on. How dumb would I have to be to believe that? Of course that money came from Trump. Am I missing something here? The money came from Trump. So why not just say it? Or, in the alternative, shut the F up. But no, this guy is out there saying the money didn't come from Trump. The money didn't come from Trump. It was my money. It was my money. And if it is his money or anybody else's money, it's a campaign contribution. When you run for office, and billionaires and multimillionaires have this tremendous advantage, they can put an unlimited amount of their money into their campaign. There's nothing unethical about this, nor illegal. So whether it's Michael Huffington back in the day in California or Donald Trump in 2016, they can put these guys, if you've got money in your own account, you can put it into your campaign. You don't run afoul of any law, any federal law at least. But the problem is when you receive contributions from the outside going in, now it's subject to all sorts of rules, not just reporting rules, but also there are certain maximums that can be contributed. And it's with these maxims in mind. Now, you've got the lawyer out there who's doing more damage than good, right? When you hire an attorney, the entire purpose of hiring a lawyer is to put you in a better position. That's what a decently good attorney does. And a great lawyer puts you in a very good position, right? Turns the tables on you completely. Well, here, this lawyer, I think, has done more damage than good. I mean, he's out there talking about how this money didn't come from Trump. And it is, in effect, an admission of wrongdoing. And in the analysis of this whole story, this is the part that is being missed. This is the part that nobody is really getting into. And I think this is the part of the story that we will have to see how it shakes out. But I'm absolutely mind blown that this buffoon is left out there to operate. And I get the impression that he's kind of a small time operator. I mean, they arrested him in some hotel room in Manhattan. His office is in Manhattan. Apparently, he has a residence somewhere, but he's operating out of a hotel room. Do you trust a lawyer that's operating out of a hotel room? Comes to the door in a bathrobe. So when the FBI walked in, they rang his doorbell, executed his first thing. He came to the door holding his cell phone in his bathrobe. And the first thing he did is they grabbed his cell phone out of his hand. So he couldn't destroy any evidence, and they just tore right in there and turned the place upside down. There's recordings. That's another part of the story. Yeah, there are recordings of conversation. He liked to tape everything. This is a very Nixonian reflex. So, but and another source I read today said there's nothing about any type of, there are no emails directly with the president. We will see all of this. But the last thing I want to talk about is attorney-client privilege. And attorney-client privilege is a very important component of all of this. Now, and it actually may end up being the reason this entire case gets thrown out against him, or at least why the search that was executed gets invalidated. You have to move heaven and earth to raid a law firm. And the reason for that is lawyers are keepers of secrets. Lawyers are obligated to maintain client secrets. Now, I'll give you an example. Let's say that you have murdered somebody. No one suspects you of this murder. Better yet, maybe somebody suspects you of the murder, but has no proof and there's no case against you. But you, at some point in time, consult with your lawyer. And this lawyer may operate out of a hotel room in Midtown Manhattan. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if he's a fancy lawyer. Doesn't matter if he's an idiot. Doesn't matter if he's operating out of a bathtub. You talk to a lawyer. He's licensed. You don't even have to pay him money. It depends on the jurisdiction, but in California, you don't have to pay money. You have to have an understanding that he might potentially be your lawyer. That is enough. That lawyer is obligated to keep your secrets secret. In fact, to keep anything secret that you have shared with him. So if a third party tears into that lawyer's office, wherever that office may be, and begins rummaging through his files and comes, oh, hey, look, John Smith over here. Oh, hey, Bob, isn't this unsolved murder case we were working on 10 years ago? Hey, I think I got a lead for you. They're not good. And the FBI, the sheriffs, the local police, they can't just do this. It takes tremendous amount of supervision by a court. Usually there's some sort of a minder that is appointed to sift through, to pre-sift through information and find only the relevant material, et cetera, et cetera. I suspect, and Alan Dershowitz, by the way, has been making all the rounds and agrees with me. I suspect that most of the material that was gathered here in this executed as a result of the search warrant is going to get thrown out. And the simple truth for that is you have if he has his business dealings intertwined with client files and they're grabbing everything and going through everything, this is a big problem. And by the way, they cannot, under any circumstance, I don't care if they find a smoking gun, if they find a video of the golden shower happening 2013 in the Moscow hotel room with President Trump sitting there going, "Ho, ho, keep going, ladies, keep going. Every, yeah, 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 more." They can't use it. He gave it to his lawyer. And that lawyer represents him. Can't use it. No way, no how. So all of the news media that's rejoicing, all the people out there that are so excited that Trump, oh, now we're going to get Trump. Now we're going to get Trump. You just cannot use it. So if this investigation is all about criminal stuff that is, I don't know, different or separated from the president, some of this guy's personal dealings, fine. But fruit of the poisonous tree, I'm going to talk about this doctrine when I come back. It's this fruit of the poisonous tree issue, and it's a very basic 101 evidentiary rule. Anything they find, they cannot use. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, on the Sam Nation Radio Network.
I was listening the other day to a friend of mine. His name is Sam, Sam Rogowski. You'll find him very interesting. He's very stylish. He's always wearing his suit. And if you want to hear someone's opinion that absolutely is correct, you listen to Sam. Anyone else is a waste of time.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation. A search executed at Donald Trump's attorney's hotel room, place of business, and his various deposit safety deposit boxes. To the extent that the search is illegal or has exceeded its scope, whatever is found has to be excluded. And I'll tell you what I think is going on here. I believe strongly that there is a pervasive mindset within the deep state establishment bureaucracy that Trump needs to be destroyed by any means possible. They are getting frustrated that Mueller's probe is going nowhere because this is, by, you know, for all the news media out there crowing about how great it's going, it's not. Mueller is not getting anywhere fast. And so consequently, I very much believe when we're talking about the Southern District of New York and the federal prosecutors there working in conjunction with the New York, we'll talk Manhattan FBI office, what are we talking about here? Are we talking about Trumpists? No, we're talking about career Democrats. We're talking about people that are 100% opposed to even the inkling of a Trump presidency. These are people who know Mueller, know of Mueller, know people in Mueller's office, Mueller's team. These people are all in cahoots. Trust me. It's a very small world when it comes to the FBI in D.C., the FBI in Manhattan, the Southern District of New York, and the District of Columbia. These people all know each other. There are back channels. There are Yahoo mail accounts, untraceable, right, off the government grid, that are all going back and forth. How do we nail this a-hole? And it's against this backdrop that somebody had this great idea. Well, we've actually had this Michael Cohen guy, this lawyer, on our scopes for years. He's doing this dirty thing, that. Let's raid his office. We have probable cause. He's engaged in some criminal stuff, some bank fraud, whatever it is. Let's raid his office, and we are going to get the dirt on Trump. And now we can't use any of it, but we're going to call you back channel and say, hey, we found file 83692, and they said this, and now you're going to go over here somewhere totally unrelated, and you're going to find some confirmation of what I just told you, and now you can keep this probe going. Well, I'll tell you, my friends, the problem with this type of strategy is that shortcuts always end up screwing you in the end. This is a shortcut. if Mueller gets to some wrongdoing by Donald Trump eventually on his own, that evidence of it can be admitted in court. And if it sticks, if a jury, you know, or whoever, whatever the grand jury is that's evaluating it likes it, you can secure an indictment. But if you get to it by cheating, by using a pretense like, ooh, we've got this dirty lawyer, happens to be the president's lawyer. Whoops, that's no coincidence there. We raid his office. We go through his stuff. We go through his files, find stuff on Trump, and then tip off Mueller and get Mueller to go chase down something somewhere else. Whoop, unrelated, didn't know it. Disaster. The entire Mueller probe falls apart. And by the way, now there's an appearance of that. Even if it's total coincidence, there's an appearance of that. You can't go to a lawyer. You're allowed to go to your lawyer and say, I killed person X. And your lawyer has to keep that a secret. And if your lawyer is engaged in tax fraud and lied and cheated on his taxes and he gets raided by the FBI, the FBI can't go, oh, hey, by the way, LA County Sheriffs, I got to tip you off to Bobby McGee. He looks like we're going through some files here with his lawyer. And he did that little murder that you guys have unsolved 10 years ago. You can't do that. So this thing, I think, is the beginning of the end. It's not the beginning of the beginning. It's the beginning of the end. It's really heavy-handed. Eventually, the truth comes out because you can't keep a secret. I mean, you can't keep a secret in Washington. You can't keep a secret in New York. Somebody's going to talk. We're going to find out that people were in cahoots. We're going to find out that this was all orchestrated. And when we do, the wheels on this thing come off. The only reason the Mueller probe exists right now is because there's this belief that if Trump fires Mueller, it's so unacceptable and so beneath the scope of decency and it's so obstructive, right, that Trump can't survive it. But if Mueller loses in any more bits of his, well, I would say moral standing, at that point, he's done. And you got to remember that. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Sam Nation Radio Network.
We shall fight on the airwaves. We shall fight on Twitter and Facebook. We shall broadcast our program, whatever the cost may be. And if Sam Nation lasts for 1,000 years, men will say this was their finest hour.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, on the Sam Nation Radio Network. Paul Ryan announced his departure from Congress. He's leaving. He's done. He's finito. And let me ask you why. Well, the eulogies are they're coming in right now. And this is Brett Stevens from the New York Times giving his reasons for why Paul Ryan is leaving. This is with MSNBC's Stephanie Ruhle. Listen.
I think Paul Ryan's walking out the door because the Republican Party has become unmanageable, ungovernable, and embarrassing. And I think that his only mistake was not having done so two years earlier, which is going to be a stain on his political reputation forever. The real legacy of Paul Ryan, when historians look back on it, won't be a matter of deficits. It will be the moral capitulation of Republicans who knew better or who should have known better to the forces of Trumpism within the party. And there's something almost Shakespearean about the career trajectory of Paul Ryan, a guy who at some level understood what he was doing, but was unwilling to admit it and stand up and fight it.
Once again, the New York Times is absolutely dead wrong. As far as a legacy goes for Paul Ryan, he has none. Nobody is going to give a hoot about Paul Ryan 5 years from now, let alone 50 years from now. Nobody will talk about him. Paul Ryan will be one of those obscure references in an obscure textbook. It's 1,000 pages long. And he'll be a footnote in history. And the reason for it is Paul Ryan is an absolutely unremarkable politician in every way, shape, and form. Paul Ryan is a go-along, get-along clown. And go-along, get-along in Washington for Republicans is give the Democrats more or less what they want and be nice and be a compassionate conservative and, oh, we're trying to get along with everybody and do our thing. And so what you end up being is a tax and spend liberal running as a Republican. You're a liar. You're a cheater. You are literally unfaithful to every 2 years to the voters that put you into office. Here's what's going on right now. I've said it time and time again, that the challenge in 2018 in the midterms here is going to be for the Republicans to get Trump voters, people who are excited, who would be excited today to vote for the president, to get those people to go out and vote for totally unremarkable loser Republican candidates. The only way you get those people to come out and vote, and you need those people to win, is by, I don't know, the only thing that a Republican candidate can do is say, I am going to stand behind the president and stand behind the president's agenda. You don't have to get up and say, I think Donald Trump is a faithful husband. I think Donald Trump, would never cavort with a playmate. I think Donald Trump has exquisite interior design tastes. None of that matters. You know, people don't even care about if he's did a menage a trois with Putin. They really do not care. The only thing that matters are the basic principles of what Trump is about. Politically, his promises. Tough on immigration, tough on crime, supporting the military, strong position in the world, lowering taxes, deregulation. Like, these are things that sell and sold and got people excited. And these are people that went to the polls in spite of all of Trump's profound personal weaknesses and shortcomings. And these people, these nitwits inside the Beltway wonks, of which Paul Ryan is one, certainly, are too busy going, this guy is so vulgar, and this guy is so mean, and he says these terrible things, and he gets people totally mad. They go off on this stuff. Meanwhile, the omnibus spending bill comes around once, twice, three times, and every time it's give the Democrats everything that they want. Yeah, but we're going to spend money like drunken whores. But I'm mind blown. So when we come back, more on this because you heard about the Congressman X? Well, that's a real name. It's like Dr. X. I'll tell you about this when we come back. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation on the Sam Nation Radio Network.
In this present crisis, government is the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. And Sam Nation is the solution. Of course, you need jelly beans for that.
Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation Radio Network. Boom! It's a podcast. It's not live, but you know what? It's still fun and very informative. I'd like to think so. I always try to talk about what other people are not and give insights that other people don't have. And usually I deliver on that, actually. I'm a pretty good track record. So Eric Erickson, who is what is this guy? This guy's he's been in the news this week. You've probably never heard of him. The left describes him as a far right guy. He's kind of a kook, I'll tell you that. But he claims to have witnessed or been told, been relayed, an anti-Trump rant by a congressman who wishes to remain anonymous. Now this, oh yeah, I should say, okay, Erickson's an anti-Trumpist, he's a conservative blogger. But he's had some bizarre rants. I don't know. I stand by my kook comment. So anyway, this guy, Erickson, has had a meeting or a conversation with a Republican congressman. And the Republican congressman essentially said to Eric Erickson, which he printed in his column, well, you know, we're all going to lose, talking about the Republicans in Congress. We're all going to lose in the midterms. We might as well just impeach the mother effer. Well, he used the real word, I think. So it was much more raw and thuggish. And this was put out there in the media as, oh, my goodness, look at the sea. Even Republicans are disgusted by Trump. They need to. Okay. My friends, do you trust me? Do you trust me? Because let me tell you what this is all about. Again, mediocre, lackluster, loser Republican candidates across this country are getting creamed. Because people crave authenticity. People want to destroy business as usual in Washington. They do not want inside deals. They do not want us to tax and spend ourselves into a hole. And these guys think that it's Trump's fault. You know why? Because these Republicans are too busy reading the New York Times. They're so wrapped up inside the bubble that they're actually believing. I don't know. I don't think all of them actually believe it, but many of them do. They actually believe the rhetoric. They think that Trump is their problem. I want to tell you what the recipe is to win. And I'm not talking about winning in Santa Monica. I'm not talking about winning in downtown San Francisco. I am talking about winning in the heartland, winning in districts that are winnable. The formula to win is, look, I think Trump's a little kooky as a person, but you know what? His agenda's spot on, and that's where we need to be as a country, and this is what we're going to do. That's the winning agenda. Those are the talking points. I know you're talking about. You got to believe it. You know, Trump's going to get, I'm telling you right now, Trump's going to get reelected. If you get, if you get a bunch of people in Congress that just oppose Trump, if they're Democrats and they oppose Trump, Trump has the best excuse in the book. I tried. I tried to get the agenda in. And guess what? These jerks didn't give it to me. And then you know what's going to happen in 2020? There's going to be a Republican wave. And there are going to be people that in the primaries come in and wash out all these loser, lackluster, mealy-mouthed, rhino Republicans gone. And in their place are going to be fiery Tea Party types that are going to be far more aligned with Trump than they are with Paul Ryan or Mitch McConnell. So if you think that Paul Ryan quitting right now is somehow a canary in the mine showing us, oh, there's a blue wave coming, there may or may not be a blue wave. But this is an indication that Republicanism, George Bush Republicanism, is dead. It's dead. It's over. And it ought to be because it's an embarrassment. You might as well vote Democrat. Yeah, you want Bush, you know, Bush Republicans. I was going to say conservatives. You want Bush Republicans. Just vote for Nancy Pelosi while you're at it. I don't think there's much of a difference. Little abortion differences, maybe. But who gives a crap? They're still going to spend us into the same hole. That's what's happening. Just telling you, God's honest truth. Sam Rogowski on the Sam Nation Radio Network.
You're looking for a show that doesn't sugarcoat the truth. Sam Nation will accommodate you.
Well, let me illustrate what I was just saying. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation here. Eric Erickson, the conservative blogger, anti-Trump ranter, On CNN Out Front with Aaron Burnett, talking about the unnamed congressman who said, oh, if we're all going to lose, we're all going to lose because of Trump, so might as well just impeach the mother effer. yes. Brilliant. So here's what he said about it. Burnett's basically asking him, you think that people would actually vote to impeach? Here's her question. Listen to the answer. And remember, this is coming from a devout anti-Trump guy.
Do you really think for people you're talking to who publicly are fans that they are going that far that they'd vote to impeach?
No, I actually don't. And I think that was part of his point as well that I tried to capture, that unless the president fires Mueller, this isn't going anywhere. And then even if he does fire Mueller, if these Republicans on the Judiciary Committee, which would be the initial step, if they're in primaries, they're not going to do anything.
Why? I'm going to ask you this. If you think that everything I said in the last segment about Republicans, in order to save themselves, needing to get behind Trump, that that's their only salvation. If you think that what I'm saying is absolutely bananas nuts, then tell me why this guy that is a darling of the anti-Trump right, and in fact, by virtue of that, become a darling of the anti-Trump left, says, I don't think that the Republicans are really going to impeach Trump with or without him firing Mueller, because I don't even think it's going to go anywhere in the Judiciary Committee, which is where an impeachment proceeding would begin, right? There'd be a vote in the Judiciary Committee, and only with a recommendation there would it go to the whole House. You get that, right? So it's not going to get past the Judiciary Committee if they are in the primaries. Why is that? Because in the primaries, I know we have an open primary here in California, but other places, other states, in the primaries, what are Republican voters going to do to any Republican that is opposed to the Make America Great Again agenda? They're going to vote them out. That is the million-dollar takeaway here. Even the Republicans, even the Democrats that are just in immeasurably opposed to Trump, acknowledge this reality that Trump, Trumpism, whatever you want to call it, is popular. And opposition to Trump and impeachment of Trump lacks any kind of political will, certainly within the Republican Party. And so this brings me to a broader point where, while I think that Trump is getting a little bit screwy, I think hiring Michael Cohen years ago, this guy's an idiot. I now finally am hearing rumors, at least, that Trump is not going to talk to Mueller. I thought talking to Mueller would have been an absolutely insane move. He's not talking to Mueller. Good. Right. Good. I do think that by and large, the Trump agenda and the Trump presidency is in good shape. And it's in good shape because the agenda items that Trump wants to advance still have popular backing. And have you seen his popularity numbers, by the way? This is a real story of all this. He's over 50% now. And this is insane. He's got a Mueller probe. He's got Stormy Daniels. He's got his old lawyer getting raided, all this stuff. And he's over 50%. He's higher than Obama was at this time in Obama's presidency. So don't believe the BS. Don't believe the hype. Can you imagine how high Trump's approval rating would be if he had half as positive a media as Obama did? I realize it's like a handicap. You know, it's helping out. It's, you know, it's affirmative action. Trump, Obama had affirmative action. Help the guy that's, I don't know, because he was black, probably. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation. Talk to you guys next week. People.